Thank you, Brother Ron. Good morning.
Good morning.
So good to see each of you here this morning. Good to be with you again to share God's word that He has laid on my heart today. I was thinking while sitting there's a saying out in the world that time flies when you're having fun. I think we can say this morning that time has flown, and indeed, we are having a good time rejoicing in the Lord, in the things of the Lord. I tell you, my heart has been blessed. This is only the second time, I think, in many years that my wife and I have been able to attend one of these conferences. We came many years ago, I think it was probably 10 or so, and we said we'll be back next year. I think it must have been about 6 or 7 years before we came back, and then I was speaking somewhere else. And what I found over the years was that the times of the conference I had already been asked to speak somewhere else. Thank God that we had the opportunity to be here. And I can truthfully say my heart has been blessed and encouraged and uplifted and challenged. And this morning I trust that you too can say the same thing. The conference is going to come to a close tonight in the will of the Lord. We are all going to leave. For those of you that live in Spanish Wells, you'll stay here, but you go into your homes. Many have traveled from far, and we're going to go back into our communities. We're going to go back to our churches. We're going to go back to our way of life and meeting our friends. And one of the first things that they will probably say to you or I is this. Did you enjoy the conference? What was so good about it? What was so good? What was so good about this conference? Was it having the meals? Perhaps you might say, well, I've put on about 5 pounds in weight. And that's a possibility with all of the good food we've had. Or I've enjoyed the fellowship, meeting and making friends. But that should not be the answer that we give. The answer that we should give is this. The conference was a tremendous blessing and challenge to my life. And I leave it with a greater determination than ever before to seek a closer relationship with Jesus Christ and make a deeper commitment in my life to Him. And if we don't leave with that, my friends, we go away empty-handed. Because that is the purpose that we gathered. We gathered to be blessed of God. We gathered to be encouraged from His Word. We gathered to be uplifted to go out into the world and let the world know what it's all about in serving Jesus Christ. That should be the desire of our hearts today, even as we leave this place. You know, I was thinking over this message, and God laid this message on my heart several weeks ago in preparation for coming here. And those of you that are ministers in this service this morning, you know what I'm talking about. There are times when we have a message to speak that God has laid on our hearts, and the devil will give us a hard time. He will try to get us to change that because he doesn't want us to say what we're going to say. He will try in every way to distract us. And I had that yesterday as I sat and went through my message again. But I came to the meeting last night and I listened at the words of Brother Jeff. And I knew that God was saying to me, that's the message. I came to the meeting this morning and I sat and listened to Brother Malcolm.
And as Brother Malcolm, and I don't know how many of you were here, but if you weren't here, you missed a good message this morning. A challenging message to the hearts and lives of God's people. And as I listened, the Spirit of God said, that's the word. That's the message. That's the message. And I want to challenge our hearts today, not based on my words, but based on the authority of God's words, on a call to a personal relationship and a commitment of our lives as believers to Jesus Christ. That's what God has laid on my heart today. And I pray that as the word will go forth, that you and I will allow God to challenge our hearts afresh today. Because we're going to go out there. We're going to go back into the elements from whence we came. It's not always going to be as we are today. And we have to be prepared as God's people to stand up for God. To let the world see that our lives have been changed. Our lives are different. And we're going to go on for God. We're going to live for God. And we're going to seek to win others for God. That should be the determination and desire of our hearts. I pray that He will use these words today to draw each of us closer to Himself. As we realize the importance of developing a deep, loving, lasting, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what our lives as believers should be all about. There should be a longing in each heart to know more about Him, to know more about Jesus. We come in service and we sing so often, more about Jesus would I know, more of His saving grace do others show. But do we live it on the outside? Do we live it on the outside? Do we let Jesus Christ emanate from our hearts and our lives? Do we allow the light of His glory to shine forth so that others may see Him living in us? Brother Jeff is going to bring a message this evening, a serious message, and it's going to be a message about hell. But beloved, you and I, as God's people, need to live our lives so that we will show to others the necessity of escaping hell and the urge for coming to know Jesus Christ and the joy that we find in having a personal relationship with Him. We need to. I looked up the words in the dictionary that describe relationship. And one of the words was this, that it is a way or a feeling that exists between each other. A feeling that exists between each other. And we're talking about this morning, not just on a personal basis with those sitting next to you, but I'm talking about this morning the feeling that exists between you and your Savior. Me and my Savior. Then we look at the word commitment. It is that which restricts the freedoms of one's actions. It restricts the freedom of one's actions. And this is what we want to think about today as we look at God's Word. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. The Apostle Paul writing to his beloved son in the Lord. And he says these words, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And listen at what he admonishes him in verse 8. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And then down in verse 12, he continues with this, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." I am not ashamed. Are you ashamed this morning to know that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you ashamed to let the world know? Are you ashamed to tell anyone that Jesus Christ is your Savior? I trust not. Paul says, "I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that committed unto him against that day." And then Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 19, the writer to the Hebrews says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness or access to God to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God," and here is the commitment, "let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast." And I want to emphasize that this morning, because I see such a deterioration in this everywhere I go, every day that I live, and I trust that you see it. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Beloved, those are verses that remind us of a commitment and a relationship in our lives as believers with the Lord Jesus Christ. And my question as I begin this message this morning, and I ask you to consider it because I know that God is not going to use this message in vain, but he's going to use it to speak to our hearts today. What is your relationship with Jesus like? What is your relationship with Jesus like? What is my relationship with Jesus like? I don't know your life. I don't know you. I don't live here. And neither do you know mine. And it is important to realize, as our brother reminded us this morning, that each of us individually will stand before God someday and give an account of the lives that we have lived, the things that we have done or have not done. You're not going for anyone else, and neither are they going to you. It is your relationship, your life, your commitment to Jesus Christ, and nobody else. That's the problem today with us, beloved, is that we're worrying about what somebody else is doing. We're worrying about the lives that they're living. It should be our concern as believers. But not so much so that we forget to look at our own lives. We need to put things in perspective in our lives. It is I and him. It is you and him. Not you and sister. Not you and brother. Not you and husband. Not you and wife. But it is you and Jesus Christ. You and Jesus Christ. Nobody else. What is your relationship with him today? Is there a deep sense of love in your heart for the Savior this morning? A deep sense of love in your heart for the one who loved you and gave himself up? for the one who was willing to be spit upon, the one who was willing to be slapped in the face, the one who was willing to be scourged, the one who was willing to be led down that road with that cross on his shoulder and fell beneath that heavy load. It was he that was willing to lay down on that old gibbet of shame and there allow men that he had made, to nail him to that old rugged cross and then lower him into that hole. And there with a crown of thorns upon his head and with his hands nailed to that wooden gibbet of shame and with his feet nailed, he could look down on that multitude and say, Father, forgive them. I love them. I love them. He looked beyond their falls. He looked beyond your falls. He looked beyond mine. He loves us with an everlasting love, and I challenge your hearts this morning. How much do you love him? How much do we love him? Do we really love him? As we sing these beautiful hymns, as the choir sings, and we sing, and our hearts are challenged, and so often many of them are concerned with the fact of loving Jesus. And one of them that comes to my mind is that we sing, so, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. He's done so much for me. Beloved, when you sing those words, think about them. When we sing them, think about them. How much do we really love him? He loved us. We didn't love him first. He looked down through the annals of time and saw that you and I one day would need a Savior. One day we would need a Savior. And so God sent his only begotten Son, his only begotten Son, and he was willing to pay the ultimate price. And so I question our hearts this morning. Is our relationship with him a loving, lasting one? Do we love him? And here's a good question. Do I love him more than anything? Do you love him more than anything this morning? You his child. He's your Savior. He died for you. Do you love him more than anything? We're reminded in the Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5 through 9. And these were the commandments of the children of Israel, and they're just as relevant to you and I today. Just as relevant to you and I. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy might. I'll be doing that today. How much do you love the Lord? On a scale of 1 to 10. Where would it balance out in my love, in your love for Jesus Christ? Think about it. Where would it balance out in the love that I have for him? Is it more than just to say so? Is it more than just to say so? It has to be in sincerity, and it has to be from the heart. It has to be from the heart. Nobody here knows, but God knows. Nobody knows how much you love the Lord this morning, but He does. He does. And I want to tell you something. You don't love Him enough. We can't love Him enough. We can't love Him enough. All that He's done for us. But I want to continue on with something else too that I think is important in that passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy. It continued on with verse 7. It says, thou shalt teach these words diligently unto thy children. Teach these words. The love for God. The love for God. It's important. Talk about it when you sit down. In your home. When you walk by the way. When you lie down. When you rise up. Bind it for a sign on your hands, between your eyes. Write it on the post of your house and your gates. Oh, beloved, this morning, don't tell me that we're not supposed to love God. Don't tell me that we're supposed to give God the leftovers of our lives. He wants you and I to give him all and nothing. When we get involved in many things of life, we go all out. All out, we do it all to the best of our ability, to our utmost, and this is what we should do. And sometimes we go beyond the call of what we should do. Why not do it for our Savior? Why not do it for him, the one who loved you this morning? You're sitting there in this seat this morning, and he loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. Oh, beloved, let us not be satisfied. Let us not just be satisfied to be saved. Oh, it's wonderful to be saved, to have that blessed hope living within our hearts and lives. But if we're saved, let's show that we love our Savior. Let it be seen in our lives. Let it be seen in our talk. Let it be seen in our walk. Let it be seen wherever we go. If you don't already know it, I'll remind us again. The world outside of it, dying and going to hell, is looking at your life and mine to exhibit the reality of knowing Jesus Christ. They're looking at your life. They're looking at my life. And it is what they see in our lives that determines what they want to believe about Jesus Christ. We have to show that love of God. The love of God, the hymn writer says, so great, so vast, so boundless, so free. Thank God this morning, if you sit here and you're his child, you can say unequivocally, it has reached even me, even me. Today this is so important, I believe, in our lives that we live, that we exhibit this love, that men and women can see Christ living in our lives. Can you and I say today, as Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1, in that portion that I read to you, I am not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to let the world know that he is mine and I am his. I'm not ashamed to live my life for him. It doesn't matter whether we lose friends. Yes, friends are important, but loving Jesus Christ is far more important. If you love Jesus Christ, then his love will shine through you and reach your friends. It'll shine through your life and reach your friends and convince them to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Paul says, I am not ashamed. And then he goes on to make this statement, for I know whom I have believed. For I know whom I have believed. How did Paul know that? How did Paul know that? How do you know it today? How do you know it? How do you know that you are a born-again believer? What is it that is showing in your life? I think it was Brother Jeff that said a couple nights ago, it's easy to say we're a Christian. Everybody, you ask them. I understand that there was a record or something checked the other day in the United States. I don't remember exactly the word for it. But anyway, it was 95% of those asked, are you a Christian in the United States? Said, yes, I am a Christian. Easy to say. But are they living the life of a Christian? Is the love of God shining forth? It's easy to say that we are a Christian, beloved. But oh, when it comes to living the life, that's where it counts. That's where it counts when the rubber meets the road every day of our life. When we let Jesus shine forth from our lives. Paul knew. Paul made this emphatic statement of faith. He says, I know. And let me tell you why he could say that. It's because of the relationship. It was because of the link in his life between he and the Savior. And I want to tell you this morning, that relationship did not just come about because of a Damascus Road experience. That was the beginning. And so it should be the beginning of our lives when we come to acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Savior. We begin a whole new life. The scripture says all things are passed away and behold, all things become new. Our lives become changed. We become new creatures in Christ Jesus. And then we move on. It's not just a one-time experience in our lives, but it is a result of a desire in our hearts as believers in Jesus Christ to know more, to be more like Him each day. We must have that desire. We cannot serve God. We cannot live a life close to God if we don't have that desire in our hearts each day to be like Jesus, to be like Him. Do you have that desire this morning in your heart to know more about Jesus? Is your life based upon a solid foundation? Are you trusting in Him today? Is it an ongoing daily process in our lives? Oh, beloved, this morning I say to you, don't just depend on going and gathering on a Sunday and plan to grow and experience a deep relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not going to work. That relationship must begin every morning of our lives, and it must follow us throughout the day. We should be, as believers, singing psalms and spiritual songs. Our thoughts should be on God. You might say, well, what do? All you do is just go around ministering the Word. But beloved, that's a part of our life, a part of your life as well. You might be busy, you might have a job, you might have a family, whatever it might be that you're involved with. But do not place the priorities on that. Place your priorities on Jesus Christ. Your emphasis on Him. Live for Him. You can sing while you travel. You can sing while you're in pain. You can sing while you're losing your job. Yes, it may be hard. But Jesus is there all the time. He's there to give you that peace and that joy that passes all understanding. When we learn to live our lives and put our faith and trust in Him, as the Apostle Paul, when we come to these circumstances in life, we can say, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Beloved, if only you and I would do that, then perhaps one day we might qualify as Enoch did. If we could only learn to live close to the Lord, if we could only learn to be more like Him each day, it wouldn't be wonderful, wouldn't it? To be walking down the road one day, and perhaps it may happen. We never know. Walking down the road of Spanish Wells one day with joy in your heart and talking to your father, and then he decides that you walk far enough, time to come home with him. That's the story that the little girl gave. She came home one day after Sunday school and she said, Mama, we heard about Enoch today, how that he walked with the Lord. And Mom said, what's the story, darling? She said, well, the Sunday school teacher said that Enoch walked with God, and they walked for a long time, and then they got so far down, and it was beginning to get late in the evening, and Enoch said, God, it's time for me to go back home. And God said, Enoch, you're nearer my home now, why not just come home with me? Isn't that wonderful? But beloved, in order for that to happen in your life and mine, you and I must have a personal relationship and a love in our hearts for Jesus Christ and a song in our hearts and a prayer in our hearts every day that we live. It's not going to happen if you just do it once or twice a week. It's going to happen because we want it to happen, because we love the Lord, because it's our desire to be like Him. The psalmist David suggests three areas that we should endeavor to follow in our relationship. We find it in Psalm 37, verse 3, 4, and 5. First, verse 3, he says, trust in the Lord and do good. Then verse 4, he says, delight thyself also in the Lord. And in verse 5, he says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust, delight, commit. Oh, beloved, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the psalmist says, is our strength. We should live a life of joy, of peace, of happiness in that relationship that we have. Delight in the Lord. Commit ourselves to the Lord. Those are excellent instructions if we would only follow them. They would lead us to have an ease of love, of joy, of peace, of happiness in our life that we are missing so much of. Beloved, why don't we try? Why don't we try? Why don't we make a deeper commitment of our lives and our relationship with Him and practice some of these things daily and see the difference that it makes in our lives. See the difference that it makes in our lives. So that people don't say about us, as I've had said to me, if that person is a child of God, is that person a child of God? Well, I don't think it's necessary for me to change my life either. That's a sad commentary to be made about a believer in Jesus Christ. Beloved, we have to live our lives to demonstrate it that God is in us and that there is that love and that joy in our hearts and lives. We have to be like Paul, and we can be like Paul, but there must be a consistent relationship and a consistent pattern in our lives to love, honor, trust, and obey, as we heard a few days ago, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the challenge to our lives this morning, as we sit here, is this: how much of our personal lives are we willing to surrender to Him? How much of my personal life? We sing that beautiful old hymn, I surrender all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. Is that true? Do we think about the words that we sing sometimes? Oh, they're beautiful. The words that we sing are so beautiful, but they're challenging. We need to pay attention to what we sing and what we say. How much of our lives do we surrender to Jesus Christ on a daily basis? There's 24 hours in a day. There's 168 hours in the week. Take the time when you go home. Don't do it now. I don't want to lose your attention. But take the time when you go home and you just make a note of the number of hours that you and I spend in our service to Jesus Christ. Out of a day, out of a week, the number of hours we spend in meetings such as this, the number of hours we spend in reading God's Word, the number of hours we spend in prayer. Check it out. See, versus the number of hours that we spend in our daily routines of life, the number of hours that we spend on that which takes so much of some people's time, the television, the computer, and the many other things of life that we find so enjoyable that aren't associated with the things of God. Check it out! Check it out! And beloved, I'll tell you something. We'll be ashamed. We will be ashamed when we check it out, when we check the score on that side versus the score on this side, when the numbers are so low and the numbers are so high. Beloved, there has to be a change. There has to be a change in our lives as God's children. We've got to desire more of Him, more about Jesus, what I know, in our hearts and in our lives every day. I confess to you today that is the desire of my heart each day that I live. No, I'm not perfect. You're not looking at a perfect man. But the desire of my heart from when I open my eyes in the morning until I close them in the evening is to please my Savior. It's to demonstrate His love through my life the best I can, even in the midst of the difficulties of life. I want Jesus to shine in my life. I want others to know that He is real, that He's not just a make-believe, because He is not. He makes a difference in our lives. And He can make you and I the men and the women that we ought to be.
But we need to be willing to surrender our lives to Him. Jesus paid it all. All who could hear my hope. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And that's the case in all of our lives this morning. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He paid the price. And He wants you and I to be like Him. You and I must live like Him. We must live the life that is pleasing to Him. Who else is going to live it for Him? Who else is going to show Him to the world if you and I don't? If you and I are careless and are concerned about our lives and about the way that we live as believers in Jesus Christ, who else is going to do? Oh, beloved, He's speaking to our hearts today. If we're not doing it, I trust that we're doing it. I trust that we're loving Him to the best of our ability. I trust that we're serving Him. I trust that we are living for Him. It's imperative. Imperative that we get our priorities right. We get back to the basics of serving God. So that living for Him will not be a drag, but a delight. Living a Christian life for Christ should not be a drag, but it should be a delight.
Should be a delight. It should be a reality in life. And instead of singing so often as we do, woe is me, woe is me, you and I should be singing, sweeter as the days go by, sweeter as the moments fly, sweeter, sweeter, yes, He is sweeter, and He should be. He should be if He's your Savior. If you love Him today, and you have a relationship with Him, He should grow sweeter in our lives for these passing moments. Because we know not when He shall be ushered into His presence and look at His face. And oh, how wonderful it's going to be someday. And we don't know. Like we've been reminded of the young lady that was killed yesterday in Abaco. We don't know. But in a moment we can be ushered into eternity and stand face to face with Jesus Christ. Oh, what a time that will be. What a day. Let us live our lives pleasing to Him. Sweeter as the days go by. Paul says in verse 12, look, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. You know, it's not about me. I'm just one person. I'm just standing here this morning, saying what God has laid on my heart. And I'm not standing here for acclamation or praise or anything. I'm doing it because I believe that this is what God wants me to do. And beloved, you and I, we have to do something for the Lord. We have to commit ourselves to Him. Paul says, it's not about me. It's not about me. No, it's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Paul says, I am persuaded that He is able to keep that what I have committed unto Him each day. And this brings us to the commitment of our lives, not just the relationship. See, the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ determines the commitment that we make in our lives to Him. The relationship that we have with Jesus Christ determines the commitment that we make in our lives. If our relationship with the Lord is not a middle to halfway life that we live,
We're not going to do very much for the Lord. We're not going to have the desire to get involved in the things of the Lord. We're not going to want to talk to others about God. We're not going to want to share the gift of His love and salvation, because we're not really attached to Him as we ought to be. And this is true. This is true. It happens in our lives. But the closer that we get to Him, the more of that Spirit of God that experience in our lives, the more of the joy of the Lord that flows through our lives on a daily basis, we're going to want to tell somebody. We're going to want to share it. We're going to tell others what Christ has done for us.
Well, we couldn't do for ourselves. And I'd like to see the rest of the days go by. Is that your desire this morning? Is that your commitment in your life to tell others about Jesus Christ? Beloved, we should live a deep, committed life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I said earlier, the committed life is a restriction of freedom of actions in life if we are sincerely committed to Christ. We must be careful. We must be mindful of who we are. There is restriction that He knows. There is a song here that I want to share with you this morning. It says, He is our joy, our key, our strength, our rock. And this song says, each step I take. I want you to listen to these words. My Savior goes before me.